Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio listeners. It is I, your host, Evangelist Von Dumas from Trianoint Ministries, and we are talking about the nine fruits of the Spirit, and we're tonight dwelling in our series of faithfulness. So in faithfulness, as we turn to the book of Hebrews, and we were doing our studies from Hebrews 11, and we had asked everyone to please read Hebrews, the whole chapter of Hebrews 11, which bears you up to verse 40. So we're just going to jump in and let's get started here with Hebrews 1, and it reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We've talked a little bit about our faithfulness, and so in those studies we've spoke about just exactly what we've read on. We gave some examples of that. So remember that in your life as you're moving, you're going to see a lot of people who say they believe in God, a lot of people who say that, you know, I know God. And then you, of course, run into those who say, you know, I never miss a church service. I never do anything, but then it's their actions. Faith describes to us right here that faith is an action word, and you have to be doing something to show your faith. Faith is not something that you just speak, but it's an action word. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As we live around us, and you've been hearing for years and up on years and then climb up on some more years, and you will still find that you've heard from many generations and ancestors down before us that Jesus Christ is coming again. But so many just say, well, that's just something now that we hear. And so they just get to in the pattern of just, I don't believe it really anymore because it just never have happened. I remind you back in the same time when God had chosen Noah, and he chose Noah to build the ark. And some of you may remember how he built on this ark for years and years and years upon years, and how he was mocked and he was laughed at. He was teased. They was called crazy. They did it on a daily basis, and he was known as the crazy old man and his family who's over there building an ark. They asked him, why are you building the ark? And I remind you, his answer was, because God has directed me to build the ark, because he is coming and he's going to destroy all that you see right here. He's displeased with this world, and he is building an ark. And I invite you to come and help partake and build of this ark and get yourself ready, prepared for the time that he will return. And not, as we know, as history tells us, there was not one who agreed to partake upon the building of the ark or even to believe it. And you know that there was many of those people walking around, though, claiming and proclaiming and professing that they had a relationship with God, that they knew God, that they hear from God, and that God speaks to them. However, none of them ever heard him speak the words that I have chose this, my servant Noah, to build the ark. Listen to him. Go help him. I'm coming again. And I think that they got so used to hearing a lip service that he's coming again that they didn't believe it. But how many of us can witness and know that the truth is that whether you believe that God is coming again or not, whether you believe that he gave his only begotten son, whether you believe that his son, Jesus Christ, gave what no man could take, and that's his life, and that he gave it that you may come back and be united with his Father, with our Creator, and that he also said that he was leaving us only for a short while, and that short while was he was going to be doing something. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. That where my Father is, you may be also. So as I go to prepare this place for you, believe me, as surely as you see me here, believe that I will come again, and I will come for you. And he said, when I come, I will come with your reward. He's going to hand out rewards for everything that you've done and everything that you've said. You will be held accountable for. So just like when he came in Noah's day, because they didn't believe, it did not make a difference. It didn't stop him from being who he was, and God's word doesn't change, it's unwaveringly. So he came just as he said he was going to come. And he did just as he said he was going to do. And all of those who had not believed, every eye in that time saw. And whether they thought they didn't believe, they believed at that time. And then when they come running and searching to be in his presence, to be with him, it was not the time. It was too late. And that's the same thing will happen in this day and time. Jesus is coming again. Whether you believe it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, he is coming again. And we don't get caught up to believing that you still have time, because you don't have time. It's God's time. He's just loaning it to you. So if he gave you, if you're alive and you're breathing right now, it's from the mercy of God. It's his mercy. It's his love. It's his peace. It's something that he gave to you. It's not your time. The only thing that you own in this life, you don't even own your own life. The only thing that you own is your sin. It's the only thing that is yours. It's nothing that someone else has put on you, but your sins is the only thing that you love. We're going to take a quick second here, and let's just look at Psalms 24 real quickly here. Let's look at Psalms 24. Give me a minute there just to get there. I just want to show you something, because we hear those that proclaim and confess that they know the Lord. We hear those that proclaim and say that they don't believe in the Lord. Either way, they're the same group of people, just in different clothing, going to different places, but all at the same time. Psalms 24 tells us that the earth is the Lord. So let's just get that straight right now. It doesn't say that the earth is Vaughn. It doesn't say that the earth is Minister Farrakhan. It doesn't say whoever you want to put in there, Buddha, whoever. But it says that the earth is the Lord. So once we understand that, then he can do as he wants to. This is his creation. But he goes on to tell us that not only is the earth the Lord's, he said, and the fullness thereof. So everything, the fullness thereof of this earth, everything that is here, that you've ever touched or you've ever seen, you've ever heard about, it is the Lord. And then he goes on and he says, now we've got the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Who that dwells therein? They. You are the they. I am the they. So who am I? Whose do I belong to? I belong to the Lord. Again, Psalms 24. I invite you to take that and put it in before you and ask God to explain it to you, because maybe it's a shock to you to know. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in them, within the world. All belongs to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. So as we say that we know God, as we say we don't believe God, believe me, it still doesn't change his unwavering word. And just as he came back in Noah and the ones who knocked on the door and begged for Noah to just let a few in, just let me in, you know, if you still got enough time, the water hasn't rose that high yet, can I still get in? But no, it was too late at that time. The same way Jesus has told us to seek him early that you may find him. He says, seek him early that you may find him. Each and every day is too late for somebody. And the good thing about it and the bad thing for the ones who don't know him is that you don't know when your last day is. You don't know when his return is. No man knows the day or the time or the hour. But we do know that he's coming and that we have the faith and to believe that the evidence that we can't see I didn't see him die on the cross, but I have evidence that he died on the cross for me. I believe that he died on the cross for me, and I still believe that he should return, just as he said. So verse 2 and back in Hebrews 11:2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Well, let's read that again and do some explaining on that, you say, evangelist. So verse 3 says, "Through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So first of all, just understand that we're talking about the world. If we take a picture, any picture that you see in your house or wherever you're at right now, if you look at that picture and you look at the frame around that picture, if you stand back, you can see the entire picture itself. But let's just take Earth. Let's not even take all of creation right now. Let's take Earth, and let's put a frame around Earth. And God is looking at Earth, and every part that you can see of that picture before you right now, he can see every being, every part of the earth, and everything that is going on within it. And so every dot, if you're the artist that painted the picture that you're looking at, every dot, you put it there for a purpose. Every angle, you put it in that angle for a purpose. And the same thing goes with God's creation. It's a frame, his whole creation of all the worlds that he has created. Everything, big and small, everything, whether it is from the smallest creature to the largest giant, every tree, everything that you see, it was framed. And it did not come from things that are seen here now. But the things that you see before you, the sky, the grass, the moon, all of that came about from his word, from his word. It said they were all framed by the word of God. He spoke it into existence. We have scientists. They're trying to build another man. They're trying to build their way back to Christ. They're trying to build an explanation of how it all happened. But the things we can't do, we can't just hang the moon in the sky just because our words demand it to hang there and not move. So everything that God created, it tells us in this verse, was framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen right now that we see, the sky, the moon, the grass, the trees, so that the things are seen were not made of things which do appear. It didn't start by planting the seed and letting the tree continue to grow, but it was just spoken into existence. Verse 4. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he, being dead, yet speaketh." He speaketh through me, he speaketh through you. It's just, what is it that you're letting speak? What part of it are you presenting to the world? What part are you presenting to yourself? Because he tells us that my people, that means us that believe in him, my people perish from lack of knowledge. And then he tells us, he says, you know what? Lean not to your own understanding. Why should we be in fellowship? Why should we be in a church house? TV is not your church. It'll never work for you. Why should we be in fellowship? Because we need to be with one another that believe in the Lord. We need to be in touch with the other spirits. We need to touch each other. We need to be to know what my sister, my brother needs prayer for. We need to be joined in one unity as we just worship him. As we praise him, we need to unify. We need to be under a leader that God is pouring into their life. Your answers, that you don't have to lean to your own understanding. You can read the word, read the word, read the word. But The enemy doesn't mind that. Because you'll never get a clear understanding of what you're reading. He said, how would you hear it then, if not through a preacher? This is God's word. Now, whether we want to change it around to fit our lifestyles, it doesn't make him any difference. His word is unwavering, and it doesn't change. It doesn't make it right, and you're still going to be wrong. So even though that Abel was dead, he still was proving God's love, God's gift, since when he was alive. He offered excellent sacrifices. Verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated so that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. How many people can you say we know that Enoch did not see death? God translated him. God took him personally. Elijah did not see death. Moses, we still can't find a burial place for Moses. God took him to the promised land. Hallelujah. Because he pleased. I beg each and every one of you to just stop for a few minutes and look at your life. What have you done today that was pleasing to God? What have you done today that was pleasing to God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have a sister who says that she wants to just shortly tell me what it was that she done that was pleasing to God.
What I did today was my friend Diamond, she got in an argument with somebody for no reason, and I stopped her from getting in that argument. I know that God, as a God's child, should heal up me to stop the argument, and she did. And she said, thank you, Titiana, for being a good friend and not just sitting there laughing.
Amen, amen. So in the midst of the heat, you reminded her of just who she is. And that's such an important thing. We have to remind each other, be in fellowship with each other, and remind each other of, look, sister, you're not doing this right. Look how you're acting. Are you really seeing what you're doing, brother? You know? And it's especially sometimes with us single people. It's hard because you don't have a spouse to check you sometimes and to let you know, well, you know, you're acting foul. And it's easy for us to get set in our own ways. And we start to think that what we do is right and what we think is right. But the moment that you get in a relationship and that person starts to look at you like you're crazy when you say some of the things you say, and then we want to just throw it up and say, you know what, I'll just continue to be by myself. But no, it's what it is. Someone is challenging you. You should have someone to challenge you, you know? And it's good to have somebody in your life. I thank God for my sisters who would challenge me. I thank God for my friends who will challenge me, and we can make you look at things again. And you'll stop and look and say, maybe I just should close my mouth instead of saying something at this time. Maybe I should say something instead of keeping a closed mouth at this time. So it challenges you. But we are wanting to please God. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So those who come to him must do something. Remember we said faith is an action word. You must believe. You must believe. And believing is not always an easy thing. Believing is not something that you say from your mouth. But believing is something that you do daily in your life. Believing says, I may feel bad, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to go. Believing said, I know that sister or brother did me wrong,
but they're in need, and I know the Holy Spirit has told me to go do this, and I'm going to set out to do it. It's an action word. You got to sacrifice something. Believing is saying that, you know what, I know that they're probably talking about me, but I got to go over there anyway and put a smile on my face when I go. I got to end up doing something for them. I know they talked about me. It's a sacrifice. Remember, no cross, you don't get no crown. We're all wanting the crown, but nobody wants to carry that cross. Think of him as Jesus was pulling that cross. It was not an easy thing. No crown, no cross. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but they don't want to travel through hell. Hallelujah. So if we can skip real quickly, let's go now to verse 17, and it tells us, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises of, he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Let's read 17 again. It said, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Verse 18 says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall their seed be called. And 19 said, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Number 20 says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So let's just go back now and read verse 6 again. By faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse 17 said that Abraham did what? He offered up his only son, Isaac. He had, well, not only son, he had Ishmael. But his son that he had been praying for, his only son was Sarah, that he had been waiting on, that God had spoke out of his dead body and produced. But it was a sacrifice. So by faith, he believed that throughout, however it works out, God will get the glory. God will make a way. Could you have done that and offered up your child? That's not something that we just should take for light, what Abraham considered doing. By faith. So verse 17 tells us, by faith he offered his son. Through that son, all of the promises was given. And then we go back to 6, and it tells us that without that faith that Abraham had, it would have been impossible for him to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. Abraham had to believe that God is who he says that he is. God said, I'm not going to try proving to you that I am God. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you that God is trying to prove to you that he's God. He just shows you that I am God. And then he sets it before you. He said, choose you, life or death. Follow me. Seek me. Why early? Why you can find me. Seek me first, and then you'll find my righteousness. And then all these other things that you're out here in the world searching for, he said, I will just add them unto you as you're needed, as they're beneficial to you, as they won't harm you. Once you seek me first in my righteousness. Never does he try to beg you to come to him. Never does he try to prove to you that he's God. But it's up to you to believe that he's God. You've got to believe that he is God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means you can't get tired. You can't decide that I'm just tired. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of seeing what we call as Christians do this and do that. You don't get tired of the world being the world. Every time we turn on all we're seeing is the world, the worldly actions. We complain, but we're tired, we still turn that tube back on. We get tired of hearing our women being called different names or some of the lyrics in our music, but we don't stop listening to music. We will say, well, I'm listening to the beat. We'll say, well, I just like certain songs of the artist. But why are we so easy to get tired of serving God? Why do we always point the finger of the ones in Christians when we fall? The enemy's just doing what he's supposed to do. Anywhere a child of God is, he's going to present himself there too, because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So why are you helping him do his job when you should be helping God by ending up praying for your sisters and your brothers? We can't get tired. We got to diligently seek him, seek his ways, seek his answers, seek his favor, because we are aiming to please him. Hallelujah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became first heirs of the righteousness, which is by faith. He did it by faith. By faith. Let's look at some more. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, here we go. This is a prime example for us. Can you imagine wherever you're at? Abraham had it good where he was at. He had family. He had friends. Notoriety, everyone knew him. Abraham had established himself, per se. And then God asked him to leave his people. Leave his people. And he didn't even know where he was going. He said, but just come and follow me. He had a promise, and I promise you inheritance. That was not an easy thing. Can you imagine just booking up and leaving? I have a young lady whose her husband is in the military, and she had to leave her family and, of course, travel with her husband. And so they came to San Antonio, is where they're stationed at, and she's miserable. She's miserable. She even considers leaving her husband. Not because she doesn't love him anymore, but because she misses her family. Family is so important. She misses her loved ones. She's had never really been anywhere else but with her family. She only has her husband. And so she considers leaving. So can you imagine? I tell that story to tell about Abraham. Notoriety. He's established. He's older. And now he's been told to leave all of that behind. All your loved ones, leave it all behind and come follow me. And he did. And he did. And because he did, he inherited the righteousness of Christ. Not just him, but now on to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All that they have and all the promises, the covenant that God made between them is because Abraham had faith to step out and believe God, to seek him diligently, even when he did not know where he was being led, but knowing that he was being led by God, and that was enough for him. Easy? No way. Possible? Oh, yes. Do you think God is doing the same thing in our lives today? Oh, yes. He's asking us daily to step out into new ground. He said, but it's not going to be making the money that I want to make. Oh, yes. I have more waiting for you. You don't know until you step out into these new grounds. But I don't know anyone there, but I have someone there for you. I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you, and I have my angels camped out around you. Can you trust me? Can you have faith enough to go where I'm leading you. Again, this is your servant, your friend, your sister, Evangelist Von Dumas. I come to you from the ministry of Tri-Anointed Ministries, where we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three heads and one God. Hallelujah. I invite you to join me on my journey through faithfulness. Faithfulness. We want you to get full of his faith. Faithfulness. Hallelujah. By faith, he traveled into the land of promise. He was a stranger in that country. He was dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builders and makers is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength, conceived seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I like how the word tells us that through faith, because you know she lied when the angels told her that she was going to bear a child, and they said, well, why did you lie? She said, I didn't. I said, no, you did. You would name your son Isaac, which means he who lies. So now she had to have built up faith now. As she starts to grow this seed, it said through faith, Sarah herself received strength. She had to get strength to conceive. This was an old lady. She hadn't thought about doing anything like that in years upon years upon years. So she had to have faith to even believe that she could have the strength to conceive this child that had been promised to her. Abraham, whose body was dead, had to have faith to believe for strength to even consider getting ready to prepare a seed to give to Sarah to carry on to bring this promised child. Wow. What's going on in your life that seems impossible right now for you? And you said, how in the world could that ever happen? You've got to train yourself to believe for the strength to believe that you can conceive whatever it is that God has promised you. And don't ever let time, just because time passes, remember, Noah, years upon years upon years, he built in this ark. Don't let time pass and just discourage you. Because remember, time is not yours, time is God. You're just borrowing his time. So it's not like you're paying for it. You're borrowing God's time. If you have time, it's because his mercy, he's loaned it to you. I repeat again, the only thing that you own, you don't even own your life. It's not your life to live. This world is not yours. We just read that in Psalms 24. This world is God's, and all of they who dwell in it is God's. You're not your own. The only thing that is yours, only yours, is your sin. The sins that you continue to build up each and every day, not repent for. That's yours. But God will even, he loves you so much, he'll even take those sins away from you so that they don't have to weigh you down, so that you don't have to be thrown into the pits of hell for eternity. He will even take your sins away from you. The question is, will you give them to him? Will you allow him to unfold your arms, to move that frown off of your mouth? You're gritting your teeth right now. Will you give all of that over to him? Will you just give it all to him? Not just some of it. You said, but I'm not ready to forgive this person for this that they done. I'm not going to let my guard down. Will you just trust God and give it all to him? Every bit of it to him. He said, but I love the life that I'm living. I love living in sin. I love this sin. It feels good to me. I think it's right. It feels good to me. I can live with it. Well, will you just give it to him and say, I'm going to give it to you, God. I'm deciding right now I'm going to give it all to you. And if this is really not of you, don't give it back to me. If this is really not of you, my lifestyle, the things that I'm doing, the way that I'm raising my family, if it's not of you, don't give it back to me. Block it from me. Set me free and deliver me from those ways. Show me your way. And then believe it. And if you believe it, ask God for that strength every day. It's not going to be easy. But you will receive it the same way that Sarah. Ask God for the strength to conceive. And she carried that baby. And that baby came out, and she was fine, and he was fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to carry that seed. And whatever it is, the spirit of expectancy is going to come over you. You may be waiting on a spouse. You may be waiting on that dream job. You're tired of just working, but you're ready for a dream job. You may be tired of the career that you've just fought so hard for, and now you're ready to come home and raise a family. You may just want to find your loved ones that you haven't saw. You may be an adopted child looking for your birth parents, and that's your journey. Whatever it is, pray that God give you that strength to succeed and believe and go forth and find that he has shown you that you will find, to gain that which he's told you that you will possess. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Therefore, just remember that even though God is something that you say that you know, someone that you say that you hear from, someone that you say that speaks to you, if you're not doing anything on a daily basis to edify that same God that you say that you love, if you won't speak to your sisters and your brothers that you see daily, but you say that you love God, the Bible says that you're a lie and the truth does not dwell within you. That's just the truth. That's just how that's what he puts it as. The truth. Great is God and his faithfulness. So we went over some of the biblical definitions of faith. We went over some of the ways that we can apply that biblical definition of faith in our daily living. We talked about some of the heroes of faith and what we think about their faith. Abraham and Sarah, Moses, Noah. Hallelujah. We're also going to talk about tomorrow, how is it possible? How is it possible for them to believe and never see the fulfillment that takes place in their lifetime? Moses was not even allowed to go into the promised land. How was he allowed to believe? How did he make it? You know, there's so many people that you hear that they make it and then to give their thanks, and they said, I wish my mom could have just saw me. My mom prayed for this day that I would give my life over to the Lord. I wish this person could have saw it. How is it that those parents can still continue to pray and believe that their children are going to be successful, that they will see the true light one day? How is it that they can still have faith, and even though they never see it in their lifetime? We're going to speak about that. Because somebody right now is praying right now, and they're seeking God diligently, and they want his love, and they want his faith. And they can't wait until they can see whether this side or the next side. So they can see that when their loved one's eyes are no longer blind, You ever saw anybody who had cataracts? You can look at their eyes and you see that there's a glaze all over it. There are people walking around here today. Check out their eyes. You may not see the glaze, but you can hear it in their walk. You can see it in their daily life. They're blind. They have cataracts. So we're going to pray right now for those that God will open up blinded eyes. Through your prayers right now, mothers, that they will be answered. Fathers, that your prayers will be answered. Pastors, leaders, that your membership, that their eyes will be open. And what they were blind to before this prayer, that they will see something different after this prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we come and bring all of our requests to you. All of the prayers right now for blinded eyes to be open and set free. Seeing things in the new light. Seeing things with you first. Seeing, dear Father, your ways and your righteousness as the most important thing in their lives. We believe that you're able to give it to each and every one. We believe that right now is our time for these prayers to be answered. And so we bring them to you. And we open up our outstretched arms to receive all of your power, all of your love, all of your understanding for all of the ones who just now been set free. And we thank you, dear Father. Like no other one can, you are the one that can set us free, deliver us. And once we're free from you, have been set free from all of our demonic issues by you, we are free indeed. Not just now, but forevermore. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. And then I invite you to come and give your life to Christ. God, I thank you for giving me your son. I believe that you are the first and you are the last. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega, you are the beginning. You are the end, and you are the author and the finisher of my life. I believe that you stepped out of heaven and you gave yourself in the form of your son, Christ Jesus. And he lived this earth and he walked and he experienced things and he saw the things that I see now. And he gave what no man could take, and that was his life. That he would be the bridge to bring us back to you. That through him I have a right to be with you. My true creator. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I confess my sin. I am a sinner, O Lord. I ask you to wipe my slate clean with you right now. Give me a future of hope. And I believe your promises. I accept you right now, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. A new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, you have a new life. God has wiped your slate clean. Behold, all things are new. God is thinking only about you today. It's very important that you reach out and let somebody know that you've decided to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. You can reach me here at the Blog Talk Radio at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Walkwithmegod@aol.com. Or you can leave a message here at the Blog Talk. But whatever you do, make sure that you pray for your leadership, for your head, for your direction, for your faithfulness, that you may become full of God's faith. Until the next time, we're going to pick up where we left off. We're still talking about his faithfulness. I love you, but the most important thing that you should hear today and believe today is that God loves you more. Good night.